This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi again. Welcome in. We've got QB1 today.
Yep.
QB1.
At least that's what you were last year. I guess are you still QB1, Tyler Stevenson?
I think so. What JR came up with that, I think it was in 2022. He called me that.
Oh, wait, so. I'm 2 years off. That's right.
2 years. Yeah, time's been flying by.
I can't keep up with all these mottos. We're going to talk about the latest motto, the battery. And those cool shirts you guys got going on. We're going to talk about that and a lot of things. But welcome back to the podcast, man. Thank you for your time.
It's good. It's been a while.
It has been. I was trying to figure out when you were on this thing, and I honestly can't remember. I think we crank called TJ Friedel maybe one time or something. I don't know. Or your mom.
And it was the wedding. Yep.
Yeah. How can I forget about your mom's appearance on here? That was one of my
mom
favorite
FaceTime,
moments.
Talking about Joey's dancing at the wedding.
Yes. Okay. See, this is what's going to happen when you get older, Tyler. You're going to forget things.
I'm already forgetting things.
No, that was so cool. And your mom was so excited to be on the podcast. I loved that. That was great.
I'm sure that was probably her highlight of
I don't know about all that.
Of the year. And I'm sure she's going to be happy that we're talking about it right now.
I think that seeing number 37 run out there on a major league field consistently would be the highlight. That's just
absolutely.
I would think that would
biggest
be.
Biggest fan, that's for sure.
Yeah. How's she doing? How's the fam? How are things?
Good. They're great. They're back in Atlanta. So she does like attendance stuff, front office stuff at elementary school.
Oh, no. When you miss school, is she the one you got to go to or she sends you to the vice principal?
So she didn't start that until maybe I was in middle school or high school because she stayed at home with me and my sister when we were growing up. And she just wanted to get out of the house. She loves kids. So it's actually not at the elementary school that I went to. It's a different one, not far. But she loves being around kids, and she's doing that. So school's going to be out of here pretty soon. And
that's
great. I'm sure they're going to be making some trips up to Cincinnati or some other road cities.
That's great, because this world needs good mentors or workers or whatever you want to phrase it around kids nowadays. So that's great. And I've met your mom and salt of the earth. So that's great that
she is
influencing young people. Man, you got to feel good about how the season's going. I mean, you know, it's up and down at the plate. It's just up and down at the plate. It's really hard to hit today's game. Mm-hmm. But the improvements you've made behind the plate, you're probably tired of talking about this at this point.
No.
But it's very, very noticeable. Mm-hmm. And I know you probably will say you've got a ways to go. But do you feel the improvements?
Yeah. That's something that really wanted to focus on. We've had plenty of conversations about it. And
yeah.
I know that I've needed to improve, especially with the frame and aspect of everything. But it was a lot of hard work. And for like this offseason, I really didn't take much time off just with everything. Like, I don't think I stopped throwing, just trying to build my arm back up from the surgery and some adjustments with hitting. And so really, once the season ended, it was just kind of like, hey, we're not really taking any time off. We're
gonna
kind of get to work and improve on some things. And so, yeah, it was a lot of defense. That was a big thing. And then obviously came out to Arizona early. It was like January 10th or something like that, and got to spend a lot of time with JR because he's out there and be around the guys. Hunter was out there. He lives out there. Come to find out, Frankie was out there as well. So it was good. And it was good just to get out there and be able to do as much or as little as I wanted and be around people that supported me. So it's been good. It's been good to see the improvements. And I know it's a long year, but I do like was where I'm at, especially defensive-wise.
Well, I look at the framing numbers, and I got to tell you a bit, be honest with you, when the framing numbers first started to come into they've been around framing, but when they really started to be coming to the mainstream, I'm like, I don't know. It's weird how they bounce around. You have one game where a pitcher might be off, and somehow it affects your framing numbers. So I'm not 100% down with the framing numbers. However, when I look them up, and they do fluctuate, for much of the year so far, you've been in the top 20 of catchers, and you were not that way last year.
Yeah, I was definitely on the bottom end.
Just to look at that, to see that's tangible results. That's
absolutely. There's a lot that goes into it. If the guy's throwing strikes that day, I feel like that's kind of a hidden rule baseball. It's like you always hear about, oh, if the guy's throwing a lot of strikes, like maybe the umpire will give a little bit more. Yeah. Or the veteran, if like when Wade or Sonny was here, it's like they've been around, they've got a name for themselves. There's a lot of different things that go into it. But at the end of the day, it's like my process and how I approach the pitch, like those are really the only things like that I can control when it comes down to framing, and just try to catch the ball as clean as I can.
This is interesting to me, how you make improvements. So you get to the major league level and people think, okay, well, he's done his job now. He's just got to play. No, you've got to continue.
That's not true.
Yes, you've got to continue to improve. So take me back to when you went to Arizona earlier. J.R. House is the catching coordinator. I imagine Joe Singley was involved in this as well. And man, JR is a bundle full of energy, and he works you guys to death. What was Camp JR like?
You never know.
This is camp before the camp.
You never know what it's gonna we're gonna get that day with his energy and stuff. But we've just had a bunch of conversations, and for me, being a bigger guy, the bottom of the zone was something that I'd struggled with. And I know last year I started on a knee, then went back to like traditional, like 2 feet. Being my size, I've always been able to receive the top of the zone really well. So I'm not like that hasn't really been much. We still work on it.
It's nothing new for a big catcher.
Yeah, that's just something that I think just with my size, it just happens naturally. But for me to be able to catch balls at the bottom of the zone as efficient as I can and as good as I can, like I knew that I got to be on a knee because just with my size, like it's a long ways down there, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like there's obviously people all different sizes, so just really feeling comfortable and doing a lot of work being on a knee, and just trying to do everything I can out of those stances and trying to just put myself in an uncomfortable situation. So once the game happens, it's just like, hey, go out there and play.
Now, when you watch catchers nowadays, and this is, I mean, it just continues to evolve. You'll give the target, and then when he's about to throw the pitch, you put your glove darn near to the dirt, and now you're going from down and you're catching up through the ball, which can buy you some strikes sometimes, particularly with a taller umpire. It's hard for him to get down there too. How hard was that to adjust to? Because I'm sure you didn't grow up catching that way, right?
Not at all. And like even in the minor leagues, like I never went to a knee.
Yeah, the last 5 or 10 years, it's just changed dramatically.
Like I felt like if I was on a knee in the minor leagues, like Corky would be in my ear, yelling at me.
Oh yeah. He likes to get in your ear and yell at you. Anyways.
He'll do it regardless. But he's the best, and I'm still glad that he's still around because he's
wearing his number still.
I am. That's a cool honor. It's just like, it's crazy, like, just hearing from Joey, like, the times that I spent with him, like, he's been around for as long as he has, and he's continued to work, and he's evolved with his swing. It's like, it's a never-ending process. Like, everybody says it's easy to get to the big leagues, and it's even harder to stay, so.
There's truth to that.
Yeah, like, you can't just be satisfied once you make it and think that you've got it all figured out, because this game's hard. It's going to humble you, for sure.
Yeah. Now, speaking of humbling and I don't know how I want to phrase this, but this past offseason, before you made these improvements, I imagine that, I mean, this is a game of failure. It's a game of doubt sometimes. Did doubt creep into your mind? Was it an offseason of an uncertainty, not knowing maybe even what the future is? I mean, I'm just being real here.
Especially like last year, I knew I was a much better player than, and I still believe I am a much better player than what I was last year. And yeah, I mean, like I came into the off season, it was like I know what I'm capable of, and like I still believe I can be one of the best catchers in baseball, and like that's my expectations that I put on myself, and that's how I kind of put all my work into, and training, working out, like that's my preparation every day.
Yeah. Now the trust between pitcher and catcher is always a delicate. Mm. I mean, it's a delicate thing, and any young catcher can find it hard to find a way with certain guys. I mean, that's just the way it is. Was that one of the goals in spring to, I don't want to say gain their trust, mm-hmm. but reaffirm their trust or have that trust level even go up farther? Was that one of your goals
as
well?
Yeah, absolutely. And,
cause that's a real thing. That's a human side. 100%.
Just the trust that we have between the two of us. I mean, it's everything. Like we control the game, and at the end of the day, I want that guy to be fully convicted and trusted in me, and vice versa. So yeah, it's huge, and that's something like I know and not in a bad way, but I am kind of like a more quiet kind of going with the flow of things. But like that's something like coming out of my shell, but really trying to like express more and have more of those conversations with the pitchers and what they're thinking and feeling and like giving my opinion as well. I mean, that's just like power of life, and just communication is huge, and you can't ever have too much communication, because the way just talking, you're gonna be able to figure things out.
It had to be nice too, like last year, I know Maley caught Abbott a lot, Maley caught Green a lot, and in spring training you were catching those guys mm-hmm. a ton, and even this season you've got mm-hmm. you guys have been mixing it up. That has to make you feel mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I credit Luke a lot, just the conversations we've had.
Yeah.
What he sees and I see.
He's gotta be a good teammate.
He's great. And even Kurt last year, like I've been very fortunate just to be in the situation coming up with Tucker and Kurt, and then having Luke and Kurt again, like they are all world class, and just to be able to be surrounded by them, guys that have a lot of experience, like it does make this a lot easier.
Your framing is better, your blocking of the plate is better. Now, calling a game is if someone could figure it out 100%, then you can figure out baseball. Good luck on that. But describe how you make improvements in calling the game.
I mean, I feel like a big thing is just experience and reps. Like,
yeah.
Just having guys and knowing what their stuff is, depending on what they have that day, and just reading the game. And I feel like that just comes with the experience and just having gut reactions and feels, and just like, this guy has no chances if we throw him a slider right here. Just like understanding, reading the swings, and just seeing that he doesn't stand a chance, and be able to give that affirmation to the pitcher. It's like, hey, like DJ always talks about kind of like the glove love, like the little small little like body language stuff. Like if I put my glove on the ground and like tap it, it's like, hey, like let's get this slider down. Like I'm confident if we throw it here, like he's going to swing. So yeah, there's a lot to it. And there's obviously like the meetings that we have, the homework that we always do, and just being prepared each game, knowing like, hey, this is how we're going to attack guys. And if it goes perfect that day, great. That hardly ever goes that way, because things happen in the game. But at the end of the day, knowing like, hey, what are our pitcher's strengths? What do they do well? And at the end of the day, like we're always going to go with those, because that's what they're best at. And yeah, I mean, if a guy's really good at hitting a fastball, and Hunter last night, like his fastball was electric, like, we're going to challenge it. And it's like, hey, I fully
threw all fastballs in the first inning.
Yeah.
I had like 16 straight four seamers.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like even like,
and it was a 1-2-3 inning.
So,
he struggled in the first inning. Getting past the first inning for him is big.
I mean, his fastball was electric last night, but even just like doubling down, it's like, hey, these are the pitcher strengths. And it's like, hey, we're going to, even if this guy can hit a fastball, like he can't hit yours. Like just being able to, have that mentality.
Yeah. Now, this is, I talked to J.R. House, and I talked to him a lot, but in spring, and I'm paraphrasing what he said here, because I was typing like mad, because again, I'm getting older,
and you
forget things. So this is paraphrasing his quote here, and tell me what you think about this. He said, being a catcher is a lot like being a car salesman. Mm. Some are better than others. Some it's part BS. Some is knowing the information and being able to communicate it. Being good enough at all of it and to convince the other person the investment is worth it. To be convicted in this, that this is the right pitch. This will help you. Trust me.
That's really good. Wow. I know his dad never was like a car salesman. So maybe
was he really? Yeah, is that where he got it
his
from?
His dad had some dealerships when he was younger. So I feel like it's kind of a perfect spot for him being a catcher and a catching coach. And obviously he can be a part-time car salesman too. Yeah, I mean, it's just being able to affirm, like, always have a reason why. And that's something that I've learned from DJ and, like, Tucker and JR. And just, like, there's times where it might not be the right pitch, but if I have a reason why and if I can explain that, then that's fine. Like, don't ever just call a pitch just to call it, like, and that's something that I feel like I've learned and just as experience and I've been around, like I've gotten more comfortable and it's just the reps and being around the game more. And it's like understanding swings and reading foul balls and all that stuff. Like if we can have a reason why, then it's okay. Like there's going to be mistakes that happen in the game. Like that's it's part of it. But if we can have a reason why we did what we did, then we can learn from that. And so when it happens again, we can make the right decision.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I love to hear the growth, player working hard, and that is you. And we are going to talk about this year's motto, a very cool t-shirt, and the mental side of getting some coaching. We'll do that after this with Tyler Stevenson.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back with QB1, Tyler Stevenson. Let's start with this motto this year. I mean, what have we had in the past? We had
the QB1, Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher. And we've kind of, well, we God, still got
what the... What was last year? I should know this because we get t-shirts every year in spring training.
Yeah.
Man.
What was it last year? I'll have to look. I have to look it back. Somewhere in my notes, I write things down. But this year is cool because the t-shirt is always cool. You guys do a good job on the t-shirts. And this year, it's a black shirt. On the front, it's got the state of Ohio, right? It's the battery, which is the term pitcher catcher. Phrase that's been around forever in baseball. And then on the sleeves, you've got a dream catcher.
Yeah, because that's one in the past.
And I'm trying to think what else.
You like charged up maybe on the back or.
Yeah. You know what? I've got pictures of this. Here we go. Yeah. On the front is a state of Ohio with charged up, like charged as up. In okay. the battery. Yep.
The
dream catcher on one sleeve with the new. City Connect C coming off of it. Very cool. And then FAH on one sleeve, fearlessly attack hitters.
Yep.
There's also another saying that we won't get into.
That's DJ's, DJ's like motto. Yeah.
Motto. FAH, attack hitters, fearlessly attack hitters. And on the back says the battery up where your name would be. And this is, you know, I talked to Luke Maley about this, and we'll go back to some things that J.R. House said about it because he basically said the similar things about the battery. And let me get your thoughts on this as well. If Jim could find it, here we go. It represents the synergy between pitcher and catcher, gives the credence to the Reds as an organization, caring about the human aspect of a catcher and what a catcher needs. T-shirt has FAH on it, has the dream catcher, catcher's motto. And you guys now bring pitchers. You brought pitchers into catchers meetings in the spring individually. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you need from us? How can we make your life different? So the human side of it, the battery, it goes way deeper than, okay, pitcher, catcher, pitcher, battery. Catcher. Human side of it. Take us in there. It's real, right?
Yeah. I mean, the best way I can kind of describe it is like almost like a marriage. Like,
oh, no.
In a good way. I mean, we're around these guys.
That is
so
a very
much.
Good way to put it, actually.
Just like we obviously care so much about each other and like we're in this together. So the communication part, like the trust, like the conversations, the good, the bad. Like, there are conversations that need to be had. And the battery. I mean, our starting pitching, when healthy, we know how great we can be. And that's something huge that if we can keep them healthy and let them have a great year, then we know that they can carry them. They can carry us throughout the year and into the postseason.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. And again, I'd love to talk about the mental side of things because it's a human game. People think you guys are robots out there, and you're not. Jake Fraley has a mental skills coach, and I know other players have taken up the same approach, even the same person. Mm-hmm. You,
yeah. Brian Kane. Yeah.
Brian Kane.
Yep.
How's that going? Does that help? And why did you seek out that part of the game?
So I remember meeting, we're in San Diego and our financial people were in town. And it was me and my wife and both of them. And I can't remember when we were in San Diego last year. I mean, it was probably like when we're about to go, like in the next like month or so. And just asking how things were going. And like, I'm like, my wife, she's unbelievable. And just like the amount of conversations that we had, like leading up to this, like, I feel like as a man, it's easy to be like, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And yeah, I mean, there was definitely a point where I was just like, man, I am struggling, like hitting some lowest times I've had, just like no confidence. And it was tough. Like, I mean, that was, I feel like the first time that I'd kind of had to deal with some adversity. And so I kind of opened that up with Josh and Eric, who are our financial people, who are unbelievable. So Josh, he actually like mentioned Brian, because they've got some clients that have used him as well. And obviously, I know Jake had been working with them, because I think when he came back last year, he was very open about talking and working with him. And so I was just like, let's see how this goes. And had a conversation with them and have been working with them ever since. And just being able to have a routine and find wins daily, and big thing is just being able to control the things that we can control. And it's so easy in this game to be so outcome oriented. It's like, oh, I didn't get a hit, or like anything like that. Like it's we get caught up in the results, but knowing like, hey, what can I do in a daily routine? It's like, put myself into a situation to win. So going about my day, it's like, hey, prepping myself and doing all my stuff that I need to do. Go. And then once it comes out to go play, like whatever happens, happens. And like I've got a journal, and every day I'm like journaling, and just like each day it's like, hey, what are three wins? Like, just from the previous day, and just being able to find things to build off of, and being able to do that over 162 and over a whole year, like you're going to be in a much better spot from where you started. So it's been huge, and I'm very grateful that I've been able to been working with him, and I definitely feel much better and more confident in freer than last year, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I love to hear that you're journaling, because I've mentioned a couple of times this podcast, I just have to write things down. When I write it down, it somehow helps me either remember it, recall it, or it just sinks in deeper, however you want to describe it. That's awesome that you, even like on a day where you lose the game, or you, maybe the pitcher had a bad night, bullpen had a bad night, that you can write down three positive things that you took from the day and take that out of it, because this is a game.
Yeah, it's like three wins and three gratitudes each day. So in a perfect world, yeah, everybody would love to have perfect days every day, but that's just not, that's not how life is. And so still being able to find those things, and it's huge. And actually, so Zach Sorensen, who is our new mental skills coach, studied under Brian. So they're both affiliated. So it's almost like having kind of Brian like here with us. And that's been great, just being able to have conversations and the lingo is the same. The the communication is the same. So yeah, I mean, I feel like journaling has been great.
Yeah. Now for someone listening out there that's struggling right now or has had struggles, get a journal and do this exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an exercise. Write down what? Three wins from the day.
So I'll go three wins, three gratitudes. You know, I think that this is something.
Describe the gratitudes. I mean, someone can figure out what the wins that you had during the day.
Yeah, like just something that you're grateful for. Like I know mine, like they're repetitive, but like I always say my wife, my life, like being in a position to be able to play where I'm at, like I'm very grateful for that. And then the soon to be baby. So those are what my three gratitudes would be. And then being able to, something that I started doing, it might've been actually this off season, but like a start, stop, continue. So it's like, I kind of view it as like a weekly thing, and you can just be like, okay, like this week I want to start doing X. I want to stop doing X, and I want to continue doing X, like do whatever. So like I'm off all of social media. So like stop like being off all social media, and then I'll go three keys. So like Brian, worked with Sean Casey for a long time, and I know, I think Sean Casey has talked about his,
the little card,
the three keys, keep it simple. Yeah.
Jake carries it in his
back pocket,
during games. We had him on the podcast talking about that.
And so like mine are like being present every day, attack the day, and have a plan. So like each day, like I want to be able to check those off. And then I've got,
you have a card yourself?
I don't have the card,
but you have that, embedded in your brain.
I'll write it into the journal.
Yeah.
And then like three affirmations, and they're control the controllables, being like obsessed daily with the process, and then being present each day as like the best husband, father, and athlete I can be. So
now it doesn't have to be baseball people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like it,
if you're out there and you are struggling and you think that you need to get an edge or you need to better yourself, get a journal. Do exactly what he just said. It doesn't have to be about baseball. It's about your life in particular. And I think it'll help. It'll help people.
So it's been great.
Certainly helped you, right?
Yeah, it definitely has helped change my perspective on a lot of things. And it's been great.
Awesome. You mentioned baby on the way. Yep. We're going to talk about that and pulling the baseball. Yes, pulling the ball with Tyler Stevenson. We'll do that after this. All right. I've said a thousand times. I may have even said it to you. It's like your swing, you know, you've drive the ball to the opposite field a lot. You let the ball travel, which is great. It is a mark of a good hitter and someone that knows the strike zone. However, this game has a little thing called the scouting report, and it catches up with you. Yeah, so teams all of a sudden busting you inside, pitching you inside. And I always said, whether it be by accident or by design in the past, when you pull the ball, you pull the crap out of the ball, and you have some serious pop in your dangers. We've seen that. Second deck get?
Yeah, that was sick.
Back-to-back games with a home run, including your first Grand Slam, which I think was opposite field.
Yeah.
But you pulled one into the second deck above the Kroger K signs. I mean, that was a monster shot. That's what I'm talking about. So when they're busting you in, I mean, it's easier said than done to just pull the ball, because you want to get totally out in front of the everything, and then you're just going to be an out. You're going to be rolling over on a lot of stuff. But, man, has to feel good to pull the ball that like that, man, yeah. Doesn't it?
especially, yeah, with how hard I hit that and how far I went. That was pretty sweet. I feel like it, like I know what I can do and I know I can go the opposite field at any time. And I feel like I've proven that. And I feel like, that's been who I have been for much of my life. And I feel like that's been a continued thing, is like being able to like consistently pull the ball like in the air with backspin. Because especially at our ballpark, like I know if I just hit something pull side with backspin, it's going to be a home run. And so, yeah, there's just been a lot of continued work and being able to do it properly. And like you said, like not cheating into it and
yeah.
Getting way out in front and then just like, oh, here comes a slider. And then next thing you know, swing and miss or roll over. I feel like even some of the home runs in spring training, like we're definitely pull side. And it's cool to kind of see some of those results for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to change the scouting report, you got to start pulling the ball. That's where they're pitching you.
Yeah. I mean, like, so, I definitely want to be
easier said than done.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I know if I can, if I hit anything pull side, if it's in the air, I'm in a good spot versus like being on the ground. Like even last night, like I had two swings, both kind of like pull side in the air, and very easily could have been two home runs. Like I just missed both those balls, but
You're hitting in the middle of the lineup again. You've been all over the place.
Just go out and hit something hard, man. I feel like I'm just trying to be on time and get a good pitch to hit and
so hard
control the things I can control, man. And it's easier said than done.
What stinks being a catcher is that I'm most impressed by catchers, but it's the hardest position in the game. I don't care what anyone says. Like hitting is like third or fourth on your list. Right?
There's a lot of things on a daily basis.
Yes. Not only are you working on your game, catching, framing, throwing, et cetera, blocking, which the drills, by the way, when you guys are blocking, it's just like, wow, it's so cruel that other guys don't have to go through this. But you're working on that. You're working on catching bullpens of pitchers. You're working on scouting reports. You're working on game plans. And then, oh, by the way, hey, go take batting practice. Mm-hmm. It's like third or fourth on your list.
It's a lot. It's busy days.
Yeah. So when you get a catcher that can hit, that's why it's gold. Mm-hmm. So do you feel, when you first came up and you had success and you were hitting in the middle of the lineup, we're like, wow, you know, Reds might be on to it. They might have struck gold here. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're getting back to that?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like I still view myself like I know the player that I can be, and at the end of the day, like wherever they put me in the lineup, it's their decision. I'm gonna go out there and compete and have good swings, but I'm confident I can impact a game with my bat, I was very fortunate at a younger age. Coach Beavers, who was one of my coaches, I feel like at a young age being able to understand like the value of catching, like, hey, you gotta make sure I say this properly. You can't pretty much sums it up, like you can't ever take a pitch off from catching. Like if you have a bad day at the plate, there's eight other guys that can help win the game. But if you take one pitch off from behind the plate, like you can lose the game. So just being able to like, hey, if I have a bad at bat, like, hey, forget about it and let's go out there and let's get the 1-2-3 inning. And give ourselves an opportunity to go score the next inning, I definitely feel like I can impact a game in an offensive way for sure.
You took a couple last night. You took a couple nasty shots on the mask.
Off the head.
One was direct, right off the forehead. I mean,
I'm sure you get some good replays.
Oh, they're good replays but bad like the. You don't want this to happen. And unfortunately, you have the history of concussion and you have the history of taking one on the collarbone and cracked it. I know you have a thicker chest protector, right? And you've gone back to what you wore in high school, which is the hockey goalie style mask, which I think makes all the difference in the world.
It's been great.
It?
Like, even the umpire last night was like, man.
Yeah, he made sure.
Taking some hits.
No,
I'm fine. Like,
Yeah, he was making sure, yeah. The same thing, you know, I'm not too far from home plate where I sit during the game, and I'm like, that was a direct hit, ouch. And he was like, you sure you're okay?
Yeah.
And I know the trainers or the coaches or whatever, because of your history, they're like, they want to make sure you're good.
Yeah, so, I mean,
but that mask has to make all the difference.
I feel like switching, I think last year was the first time that I switched to the hockey style mask, and I feel like it's been huge. I mean, I feel like the past 2 years, foul ball is off the mask. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
You don't even really like feel it compared to some of the other like two piece that I have worn in the past. So, knock on wood, I haven't had any issues with it. Hopefully, it stays that way.
Wonderful. That's good to hear. Because the second one last night, like ricocheted almost over the screen.
Over the net, really?
Over the net, yes. That's how far the ball. But the first one, though, that you took was way worse than that. That was a glancing blow, but the first one was like direct hit, right above the eyes, right in the middle of the forehead, like
hard head.
Yeah. And when Hunter's on the mound, I mean, and it's a
coming,
fastball.
It's coming in at 100 miles an hour. And
right. So. All right, I'm glad that's all good. All right, before I turn you loose, you mentioned baby on the way. You're gonna be a girl dad, man. Yeah. When August,
girl dad, August. Here
we are. By the way, we're recording this in the family room. There are toys everywhere.
There's high chairs here.
This is where the kids hang out during the games. So you're not far from being in this room a lot.
She's 25 weeks.
25 weeks.
I think the plan is to get induced August 1st.
August 1st.
Which is an off day for us. So try to go down there after the game on the 31st. And yeah.
Now, where's down there? In
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah, you're still living, right?
Yeah, South Carolina.
Wow.
So yeah, she's knock on wood, it's been a great pregnancy and baby girl on the way. And it's been cool to be able to feel the baby moving.
Really?
Actually, yeah, this morning, actually. Oh, she was moving a lot. So
nice.
We're excited. I
can tell by the look on your face, man. You're just melting right now.
It's gonna be fun.
That's great. There's a lot of girl dads on this team.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? Like
Sims, two girls.
Maley has
Maley's got three.
Pagan's got two. India had
a baby girl. Candelario, I think, has two girls.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, and these are just strictly no boy, like just girls. This is a girl dad team.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So you got to,
so Luke was saying, he was like, hopefully you don't have the catcher's curse with three girls. but if that happens, then it's okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic.
There are a lot of girls. I didn't think about that until now.
I couldn't believe, because, you know, these are things I do. They pay me to do the human interest side of things. So, I was like, wow, there's a lot of girl dads on this team. But you can seek advice.
Yes.
You've got guys to call upon, right?
Oh, yes. Quick. I'll be getting some phone calls, calling some guys this offseason, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Well, we're going to figure it out.
Well, let me tell you what you're going to be doing, because she's going to have to take care of business while you're playing.
Yep.
And then it gets
once
the off season
home,
and it's going to be like, your turn.
Yep. I can't wait. That's how it's going to be. And
do you have a name yet? Or?
Yes. I don't want to break it.
Want to break it? Okay.
I don't want to break it.
I think
we're confident in what it's going to be.
Yeah. Cause I thought I jumped the gun in spring training. If you remember, you had told me that morning that you were going to be a girl dad, and then they had the 3-point shooting contest that day, and I was the MC of it, and we had like downtime, so I'm always searching for
something,
the clock malfunctioned or something, for something to say, and I'm like, hey, congratulations, Tyler Stevenson, he's going to be a girl dad.
Yep.
And then Frieda was like, what? You just
he knew.
Like, yeah, I know he knew, but he was acting like that I wasn't supposed to say anything. I'm like, oh my god,
I think we had posted it at that time, like it didn't. Yeah,
I was like, oh my gosh, I just announced to the team and something that he didn't want announced.
3-point contest, and I make two shots and do terrible.
But Friedel got me.
He
DJ,
did.
You got me on that one.
Yep.
Good one, very good. You've been talking to him at all?
Actually.
I mean, you guys
sent
me
a text right now.
Really? Oh, we're going to the phone here. Take us inside the.
I'll show you what I sent him.
Really?
Off air. But yeah, like.
We should call him.
I know. I think they actually said that he just started hitting.
Really?
I think he just started hitting. So
nice. Was he in Arizona?
I think he's in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. What time is it there? He just texted you.
He's probably rehabbing. I'd guess.
He probably won't answer. Yeah. Will he?
Probably not. He's got to make sure his hand's right. Make sure that hand's ready to get back.
You know,
to
I've
us.
Called him before when Steer was on here. I think that's where I was. How about this? Every time I bring up Spencer Steer's name to a teammate, I get the same reaction, like you did. you laugh and go, Spence. Why is that?
I don't know. He's like in a good way, he's the team punching bag, and he owns it and he accepts it. And he loves it.
He said, that's my role. I've had him on the podcast. We've talked about it several times. Like, that's my role. Okay. I'm good with it.
He accepts it and he loves
it. He just rolls with anything. Yeah. Hey, he's play great. First base. All right, whatever. Play left field. I've never played it before, but okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
Same swing every time.
We were talking about the wedding before we got in here. Yeah, they got their wedding, I think, in January.
Yeah. Yes. We did that story on the air. He got married, engaged in Vail, Colorado, in front of her parents.
Yeah, I think her parents have a place up in Vail, so they go up there a lot. And
yeah. Well, let's... He's gonna be so mad if I don't even know if this.
Oh, you're actually calling him?
I don't even know if this is gonna work.
He's like,
this is TJ Friedel. Calling? Yeah, he's not gonna. If we get his voicemail though, what kind of message can we leave?
Hi, you reached TJ Friedel.
Yeah, he
sorry,
definitely
your call.
Hung up on you right there. Yeah. That was way too short.
Thanks.
So you're rehabbing, and you sent us the voicemail. This message is live on the Jim Day podcast. I've got your friend Tyler Stevenson here, and we were going to bug you. But that was a veteran move by sending me to voicemail. Now get better soon and get back here, daggone it. Anything you'd like to say to him?
Hopefully. Oh, he's there.
Hello?
TJ?
TJ Friedel? Nope.
It definitely sounded like he answered.
Didn't it? Because I got that thing now. Yeah. Anyways, we're rambling on here. TJ, get well soon.
Get back.
Get back here.
Hello?
TJ.
TJ Friedel?
He's so confused.
Well, if he's in the facility in Arizona.
Terrible
cell service.
Terrible.
So, TJ, we love you. Get back soon.
Adios.
When you get better cell service, call Tyler. He wants to talk to you.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, TJ?
Hey, you know how bad the service is at the complex.
That's great timing.
So you're live on the podcast. The service is terrible. It's so bad.
All right. I stepped outside. Now I can hear you.
You're live on the podcast with Tyler Stevenson.
Oh, gosh. I shouldn't have picked up.
Yep.
I said on your voicemail it was a veteran move by not picking up. And then we said.
Oh, shoot. All right. You know what? I got to go somewhere or do something. I don't know. What do we got?
We're just wishing you a speedy recovery.
He was asking how you were, and I was like, "Oh, he just texted me, and I haven't showed him the video."
Did you?
No.
I was gonna. Say. You should show.
You sent a video.
Yeah.
What
our text messages consist of? Just show him that.
Here we go. He's got
this is his car.
This is his car.
Yeah.
I can't describe.
That's my vehicle. That's my vehicle.
I was messing with this car.
Okay.
rehab's going good. I just actually took 50 swings today.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, everything felt good. Swing feels good. No issues. Hopefully tomorrow, take some BP, and then keep building up and keep progressing.
That is awesome.
But everything's feeling good. So hopefully I'll be seeing you guys real soon.
Yeah, we think you can make it back in May. Possible
in the month of May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What is it, April?
Yeah.
All right. Just making sure because I'm used to setback after setback with injuries, so I'm always very cautious.
Oh, don't put that on me.
No.
What the heck?
Not putting that on you.
Put that on me.
You're a fast healer. You have always been a fast healer.
I'm taking the necessary precautions every day that we have to take and. Doing everything that they ask and just building up at a good rate. So I think that we got a good plan in place to keep building up, build up swings and Yeah, just keep working. Keep moving towards getting back to you guys as soon as possible.
Nice.
I miss it out there.
The ground is very hard in Arizona. No diving.
Please, no, diving. No diving. Believe me, I'm not. I will not be diving. I will not be diving until I get back into Cincinnati.
What's the
then it's full go.
What's the temperature there today?
Funny you ask. It's been 99 the past 3 days.
Oh, geez. I honestly wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a little,
no,
a little chilly.
No, you would. Trust me, you would mind that. You would mind it a lot.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for fighting through the cell service. And
yeah, this is like this. I walked all the way outside just to talk to you guys.
Nice.
So.
I know you thought it was something important, and it's only this. But we appreciate you.
The best.
All right, I'll see you guys soon. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Great.
He's never going to answer my call again.
No.
I'm serious. That's the second or third time I've cold called him.
Yeah, he's like, "Up, oh, Jim's calling me. I'm not answering."
That's so bad.
He's great.
Oh well, he's great though. He's great.
I'm excited.
I can see why you guys have been good friends, you know?
Yeah.
I can see why. So
can't wait for him to be back.
I know that we makes me happy. So life is good for Tyler Stevenson.
We're good.
I appreciate this time, my friend. And the improvements you can notice. They're very noticeable. And I know you got a ways to go, but man, everything you've said on this podcast, you are on the right track. And
if it
doesn't happen for you, or if you don't get the ultimate result, it won't be for a lack of trying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you seem like you've got the whole, or you've got it all covered. So appreciate you, my friend.
Always.
You'll come back, right, somewhere down the road?
Yes, sir.
All right. When we're talking about like all-star appearances and stuff like that.
Nice.
Anything like the playoffs.
There we go.
Yes. Dig it. All right. Tyler.
Thank you.
See you on down the road. I hear on the Gym Day podcast.
Baseball present. Baseball past. Gonna share a few stories. Gonna